Well, as I said, we have a special worship service today, a special message today, as we get to hear from seven additional people about how the Lord has worked in them recently on a short-term missions trip, and invite all of us to consider going on a short-term trip and simply obeying the call of Christ. In a sense, we're pausing the Sermon on the Mount series, but in a very real way, we are simply obeying this verse that we'll get to in just a couple weeks. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. What things is Jesus talking about? Just little minor things like what you eat, what you drink, what you wear, you know, those little, you know, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. And Jesus says, don't worry about that stuff, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And your Father in heaven, of course, he'll take care of all the rest anyway. So what does it look like for each of us to be committed to the kingdom? You know, the call of Christ is really very simple. Remember with the early disciples, he said, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So as you don't have to walk with Jesus very long before he starts sending you out to do the kinds of things he has been doing. It's clear from the beginning of Jesus when he goes out and starts teaching. He's proclaiming, it says, the gospel of the kingdom. And a lot of times we translate that in our minds to the gospel of going to heaven. That's a lot of times for us the gospel we've heard and we've grown up with. But this term, the kingdom, is what we're learning about in the Sermon on the Mount. And it's, yes, it refers to how to get to heaven and the spiritual, you know, the eternal place where Jesus lives, where we'll live forever. But it was a very earthy idea in those days because the kingdom meant Israel. It meant a king on the throne in Jerusalem, and Jesus meant it both ways. He meant there's a kingdom now because the king has arrived, and there's a kingdom where you can live forever with me. That's what Jesus proclaimed, and along with the proclamation of good news, the king has come, and his kingdom has come with him, he demonstrated that arrival of the kingdom by healing. It says every disease, every affliction among the people. So that's our theme today, is to look at, reflect on, and apply this message of the kingdom. And in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, have you noticed this? Right in the very center of this introductory message from the Lord Jesus is placed very intentionally the Lord's Prayer. And it begins with worship. It begins with an affectionate relationship with our Father in heaven, praying that his name would be honored, would be revered as holy. Hallowed be your name. From that worship comes submission. As we pray like Jesus did, your kingdom come, your will be done. Not my will, but yours be done. How do we want God's will to be done? On earth as it is in heaven. How is God's will done in heaven? By the angels and the sanctified saints in heaven. His will is done, as we teach in parenting class, all the way, right away, with a happy heart. That's how it works in heaven. That's how we want it to work in our own lives. This is what we pray for. And that's why Jesus says, none of you can do this. None of us can possibly obey the Lord Jesus' call in our lives all the way, right away, with a happy heart. It can't be done unless God empowers us. And that's why we can do all things through Christ, who gives us the strength to obey. But this is the beginning of our response to the kingdom, is to pray for the reign of Jesus to grow in our lives and in our world, that we would pray. The simplest definition of the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? What is the kingdom of heaven? It is all of the places where Jesus reigns, where he is truly in charge, where he is the actual king. Now, think about your life. Think about all the different parts of your life. Where does Jesus truly reign? Where is he actually king? Where is he truly in charge? Think about your heart and your mind and your soul. Does Jesus reign there over your thoughts, over what you love and are devoted to? What about your finances? Is Jesus really the king over your checkbook and your giving and your priorities? What about your family and your relationship? Is Jesus reigning there truly? Is he the king? Is he in charge? What about your day-to-day use of your minutes, your schedule, your time? What about your work? Is Jesus in charge there? Does he rule and reign every part of your life? Can you truly say that Jesus is in charge? First, it begins with prayer. We'll see two more parts of applying the kingdom in our lives. First, we pray, your kingdom come. We pray for the kingdom, for the reign of King Jesus to expand in our lives, in our immediate circles of influence, and in the world. Secondly, we are called to pursue the kingdom of Jesus. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. All the little things, the food, the water to drink, the clothing to wear, the shelter, the provision, all those other things will be provided. But our calling is to seek first the kingdom. And really what Jesus is saying here, don't worry about the things of this world. Devote yourself to me and my kingdom. He's calling all of us, and he was calling those early followers, the crowds, to repent, to turn away from the things of this world that tend to occupy our minds and compete for our hearts. He's saying, don't be anxious worrying about those things. That's what the Gentiles, those lost people around us, chase after. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them, but instead of chasing after, instead of craving, instead of demanding, that's what that word seek has, that range of meaning. Instead of craving, desiring, demanding, and seeking after those things, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteous, loving rule, and all these other things will be added to you. Pursue the righteousness of Jesus in your life, in your world, and in the world. So we wrestled with that. What does it look like in our own lives? Is Jesus reigning as we pray for him to rule more and more? What about the pursuit of the kingdom? Are we looking more and more like Jesus? Are we going around loving and serving the people around us? Are we praying with the lost and hurting, with the least of these? When you read the gospel accounts, you see who Jesus spent time with, and it's not who we would immediately think of. It's the ones who are most outside of the religious community. Are we proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and praying for those who are sick and who are hurting? You see the progression here as we go through Matthew in the kingdom teaching of Jesus. We first pray that his kingdom would expand in our own lives and among the people around us. Then we commit to pursue and seek that kingdom first. One more part that Matthew gets us to by the end, and this doesn't even get to the Great Commission Craig mentioned in Matthew 28. Why do we go? You don't have to pray about it, just go. Jesus said go, so we go. The Great Commission. But he also prophesied this. This gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all the nations, and then the end will come. Have you ever wondered why Jesus hasn't come back yet? It seems like the world is bad enough, right? If it was just how bad the world needs, I think Jesus would be back, or you know, maybe later today, right? Here's why. This is the answer to why Jesus is not back yet, because there are still, not just a few, there are still lots of people out there who have never once heard the name of Jesus. And only then when the last person is heard, only then the end will come. According to the Joshua Project, there are still 2 billion people who are considered frontier and have never heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's like 2 million times 10 times 10 times 10. 2 million with 3 additional zeros. 2 billion people, that's a quarter of the world's population, are living in places where there is not a single church, not a single believer, not a single verse of the Bible in their heart language. Frontier people groups, research it. Go and pray for a different frontier people every day. There's an additional 2 billion people, that's 4 billion, that's half the population of the world, who are considered unreached. And so in a region like Tampa Bay, there would be 1 church. Imagine if in the Tampa Bay region, from here to Sarasota, Oakwood was the only church. Imagine. The 200 of us are responsible to reach every human soul on this side of the bay, all the way to Clearwater and down to Sarasota and Fort Myers. That's what it means to be unreached. A frontier group, there wouldn't even be that. An unreached group would say, no, there's a church, the Bible is available in their language, but they've got to travel an hour or two to get to that church. That's what it means to be unreached. Jesus prophesied the gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed, and then he commissioned the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations. There are hundreds of ways to share the good news of what Jesus has done for us. So the 3 kingdom themes today: we pray for the kingdom, that the reign of Jesus would increase in our hearts and lives. We pursue and commit ourselves to seeking first the kingdom, and we proclaim the death and resurrection of Jesus. If you want to summarize the gospel of the kingdom, you can do it in those 5 words: Jesus died and rose again. He not only died to pay for our sins, he rose again victorious over sin and death forever. This is the gospel that we proclaim, and his death and resurrection prove, if you want a simpler version, you can just do 3 words: Jesus is Lord. And you get that question, who is this Jesus? Well, Jesus of Nazareth, who lived 2,000 years ago and went around the land of Israel, that Jesus, who was a human man, proved that he is the Lord, the creator of all things, the Lord and God of Israel, when he died and rose again. So we've got a couple of challenges for us today. Maybe with the wordless book we've given to everyone, there's someone right now on your heart to go and share this with and just talk about the kingdom, talk about heaven and eternity, and share your love for someone. Maybe you've already had this conversation and there's resistance to it, and you just need to say, this is too important to not talk about, and you are too important to me to not talk about it, because I want to be with you forever with the Lord Jesus. But there's a problem, there's an obstacle called the darkness and the sin in all of our hearts, and the way Jesus set me free is when he showed me that he died for my sins, and he died for your sins too, and rose again victorious, so your heart can be washed clean. And that's what I've experienced, is Jesus paid for my sins, and my heart has been set free, and now we can grow together in him. So some of you, that's on your heart, and there's someone already you know to go and share the good news with them. And maybe it's not the wordless book, maybe you like the bridge illustration. I like the bridge because you can draw it on a napkin, you can draw it on any scrap of paper that's around. But we don't want to close today without giving an opportunity. If there's anybody here today who needs to personally, for yourself, answer the call of Christ, as you've been listening to this, you just sense, I'm not sure I've made that wholehearted commitment to the Lord yet myself, to pray your kingdom come in my life, to commit to reorganizing priorities and say, Jesus, I need to put you first. There may be some here who just, you know, your life is more oriented to the world and to yourself, and you need to right now make that turn from this world, repent, put your faith in Jesus and commit to him and say, Jesus, I'm going to follow you and reorient my life around you as king. And so the sinner's prayer, Jesus, I believe. Forgive me for my sins. Come and take over my life. That's the beginning of what it means to make Jesus your king and commit to his kingdom. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that the gospel is so simple, even while it's so beautiful and overwhelming to think about eternal life, the streets of gold, how none of us is worthy to get there on our own. But that's why, Lord Jesus, you came to lay down your life for us. And so we pray, each one of us today, we pray your kingdom would come in our hearts, in our lives, in this world. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are with us through every struggle, through every challenge, and every fire. And we pray that, Lord, as we think about all those people in the world that have yet to hear the good news, that you came, Jesus, that you lived, that you died, that you rose again. Encourage us, Lord, if there's someone we need to share with, show us and help us to pray for that person and to take an opportunity soon to share this good news with them. And for those who need to take this step of faith and obedience and go learn more about the summer trip or another trip later this year, Lord, we are your servants. You are the king. We pray together, your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen.